This podcast is brought to you by Harvest Family Church in Mississauga, Ontario. For more information, please visit harvestfamilychurch.ca. We hope you are encouraged by today's message from Dr. Earl B. Coulter.
All right, you may be seated, please. How many received this? You got it last week or this week? Anybody does not have the list of the 19 separate healings of Jesus? Okay, good. In this series so far, we have learned that the Word of God is medicine or healing to our flesh, and that is from Proverbs. And then we looked at the origin of creation and saw that there was no sickness and disease. We looked at heaven, and we found out there's no sickness and disease in heaven. And we looked at the origin of sickness and disease and found out that it was from the devil, and that Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then last week we started talking about the covenant of healing, and I got down to the point that some people say that the old covenant idea of healing does not apply, the old covenant with the children of Israel does not apply to the new covenant. And that that the children of Israel, some people say, have still still have their covenant, and that the Gentiles don't have that particular covenant. Now, I'm going to just talk a little bit about that because I think it's important, because you're getting all kinds of stuff today on television, and I really would wish that people would read the book of Romans and Galatians and the book of Hebrews, but somehow or another they got into their mind that the children of Israel still have their covenant and that it's still in effect. But we know that when God in Christ died on the cross, the old covenant was abolished, because the old covenant was never meant as a final covenant, because it was a faulty, and the Bible talks about it in Galatians as something that would demonstrate people's sin, because they could never keep the covenant, they could never keep the law. The old covenant was based upon the law, the new covenant is based upon faith. So when people say that the healing for the children of Israel doesn't apply to us today, I want you to look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Then Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Now notice that. Not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offsprings. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ's, then you're Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. Hebrews 8:7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. So what is all that saying? Then we'll go over, I think I need to do this. This is not on the screen, so I'll ask you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read something. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. Now notice, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition. So there's no partition between Gentiles and Jews. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So in other words, you had the Jews over here, and you had the Gentiles over here. And the Jews were the people of God. The Gentiles weren't. They were outside the covenants of promise. But Christ came, and he brought them together in one new man in Christ, making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who are near. He preached peace to the Jew, peace to the Gentiles. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, Jews and Gentiles, with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being a chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So who are the people of God? Who are God's people today? See, the people of God are the people who are born of the Spirit, whether it's Jew or Gentile, and all have to come the same way. John chapter 1 verse says, as many as received him, they're talking about the Jews there, as many as, and then it obviously applies to us, but as many as received him. So it says, he came unto his own received him not. He came unto the Jews, but they didn't accept him as the Messiah. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, those that believe on his name. So the sons of God today are the people who accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, Jew or Gentile, and become the household of faith, the old covenant being abolished, the new covenant coming in, and is applicable for everybody. To me, that's as clear as you can possibly get it. And you have to make a differentiation between the land and the people. The land is one thing. That's one thing. That's good. God's going to deal with that. No use of us trying to figure it all out. He'll deal with it. But as far as the people of God are concerned, the people of God are those people who come by the blood of the cross. Not the blood of bulls and goats. It's worthless, it's pointless, it never did anything for anybody anyway. It just made them recognize how much sinners they were, according to Galatians. So this old covenant then has incorporated all the blessings of this new covenant has incorporated all the blessings of the old plus. It's like a $50 bill and a $10 bill. Which one would you take? The $10 bill is incorporated into the 50. There's five of them in the 50. So all of the blessings of Abraham belong to the people of God. So one little last scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. It's got so bad in some circles that people are starting to say things like, you shouldn't actually try to evangelize the Jew. That's what they say. And it's wrong. Because every people group, whether Jew or whether Roman or whether Ethiopian or whether whatever, they all have to, so go into all the world, this is the mandate, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? The believers called righteousness, the unbelievers call lawlessness. And what communion has light with darkness? Believers call light, unbeliever darkness. And what accord has Christ with Belial? The believers call Christ, unbelievers call Belial. Or what part has the believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? The believers call the temple of God, the unbelievers call idols. For what? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Who are the people of God? The people of God who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them because they've accepted the work done on the cross, the final work of the cross, the blood of Jesus shed to bring us in reconciliation to God. So we can say, therefore, that all of the blessings of Abraham are incorporated, the blessings of Abraham, by the way, before the covenant, before the law, before all the ritual and stuff that they had to deal with in the flesh, the blessings of Abraham are all part of those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, healing is part of the new covenant. So, and then it says the real Jew, this is interesting, the real Jew is one who's been circumcised not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Everything that belongs to God's covenant Jew belongs to those in the new covenant. The old covenant has been abolished. So when someone says it's just for the Jew, you need to say you're looking at one. Now, I know they won't understand that, so you probably shouldn't say it, but I just want to say that tonight because you'd have to go to a whole song and a dance like I just did. What is a covenant? A covenant basically is agreement with two people. When one party doesn't keep up the side, then the other party is sort of not obligated. But in Christ, God makes himself obligated. Even when we don't keep the covenant, he keeps his part of it. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 to 23... For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his covenant and do what he pleases, what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. And if you do that, part of the covenant, it'll keep you busy. You won't have any time for sin at all. If you keep believing, keep doing his commandments, what? To love one another. Keep your part of the covenant, to love. Never let the smallest bit of ill will towards anybody stay in you for longer than like 2 seconds. Because if you do that, then you're breaking the commandment of love. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So we take no offense, and we walk in love. In both the Old Covenant and New Covenant, the principle of condition is the same. Both parties are in agreement and keep their side of the covenant. The way we fulfill our part of the covenant is different than the old. Theirs in the old covenant was works, circumcision, etc., etc., sacrifices, holy days. Ours is by faith and love. One is of the flesh, and one is of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. Now, it's very important that when you're teaching, that it's clear. And I want to make sure that what I've been saying there about the Old and New Covenant is clear. If I haven't made it clear to you, then I want you to come up after, and I'll try to make it clear. Some people think things are really deep when you don't understand them. But that's not really deep because you don't understand it. So what I want to do somebody says, well, wasn't that wonderful? Well, what is it that the person actually said? Well, I don't know, but it sort of sounded good. That isn't what we need. We need to have something understandable. That's why I always pray, Lord, remove any barriers of communication so we can understand each other. But if I haven't dealt with that succinctly enough regarding the Jew and the Gentile, ask me after, I'll help you a bit more. Okay. So now, we're talking about, we know that it's God's will. Now, my purpose in this series is so that you'll have an arsenal of material that if your body becomes to be attacked with some kind of sickness or disease, you'll immediately have a whole arsenal within you to deal with that and not receive it and recognize that it's God's will to heal you. So we say it's God's will to heal because of heaven, because of the original sin, because of creation, because of the covenant. And we're saying now that we realize that healing and health is the will of God because of his redemptive names. Go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, 26. Somebody says, well, I know that. Well, are you actually living in it? Are you actually enjoying the benefits? Exodus 15:26. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I'm the Lord your God. Now remember that in this instance, these verbs are not the verbs of causation, but allowance. So you could say this, I keep all statutes, I will allow none of these diseases on you that I allowed on the Egyptians. It's not causative. God's not putting sickness and disease on people. It is permissive, a permissive tense, and unfortunately, didn't quite get that right. So here we have, for I am the Lord your healer, Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord healer. Now the word Jehovah comes from the Greek, from the Hebrew word Yahweh, and we transliterate that like Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah, that's how we get it. Jehovah means the self-existent one. He needs nothing to help him exist. He is the self-existent one. And we're going to see here that his names reveal his nature. His names reveal his nature. So he is healer. This is what he is. And so Jesus came as God and fulfilled all of these names. was a demonstration of these names before us. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, like when Moses said, well, who are you? Like, who will I say sent me? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. I am. It's a verb to be. Like I am, I is. I am. Now it's interesting that Jesus, when he came to the earth as God, in John 8:58, he said, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, they got all mad. Who does he think he is? But here he was telling them that I am God manifest in the flesh. Jesus was Yahweh, part of the Godhead. He was Yahweh manifested in the flesh. And he kept saying things like this. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am. He's identifying himself with God. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus did not say, I am teaching the way or I am teaching the truth or I'm teaching about life. He said, I am that. That makes a difference between Christianity and every other religion. All the other seers and prophets and heads of religion are coming and teaching us the truth, teaching us way, teaching us like Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 8:12, again Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That sounds contradictory, doesn't it? But in one sense, you will never die. Your body will lay down. But you, absent in the body, present with the Lord, you don't have any darkness to look forward to. So Jesus is the fulfillment of this, but God's nature, the God you serve and the God you pray to and the God you worship every day and the God you come into church and celebrate, he is healer. He is healer. All right, the next one I want to look at is Jehovah Yireh or Jehovah Jireh, J-I-R-E-H. Found in Genesis 22:14. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day on the mount, the Lord it shall be provided. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The Lord who provides, the Lord who sees ahead, the Lord, so Jesus said in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if you need healing, because he is the healer, he'll provide healing because he's the provider. I never saw this. I've taught on the names of God before, but never saw this. This by this is on the unsearchable riches of Christ, because it all filters. One filters into the other. Because he's Jehovah Rapha, because he's the healer, when you have a need of supply, he will supply healing, Jehovah Jireh. It's amazing. It made me excited. I don't know about you. The next one is Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-I. Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," or "The Lord is my help," or "The Lord is my victory." If you need victory over sickness and disease, God will give it to you, because he's not only Jehovah Rapha, but he's the Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our victory. Give you the victory over sickness and disease. Now, is he still that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He gives us the victory over sickness and disease because he's Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Rapha. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16. "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." In other words, he always leads us in victory. "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to another fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things?" In other words, your life is going to affect the believer and the unbeliever. You have influence in this world to the believer and to the unbeliever. And because God is Jehovah Rapha, the healer, when you need victory over sickness, he gives it to you if you want it and accept it, because he is the victor, Jehovah Nissi. I love it. See, the world says you win a few and you lose a few. But God says, "I'm the victory always, if you want me to be the victory always." I don't know, but I think I'll take that. I haven't always been victorious, but I'm working on it. The next one I want you to see is Jehovah Chodesh. Now it's pronounced different ways depending on how people pronounce certain words of the Hebrew, but it's either Jehovah Makedeshim or Jehovah Chodesh. I think we've got that up there. Exodus 31:13. "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, keep my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." He is the sanctifier, or he is the cleanser. That word means to cleanse or to sanctify, or to set apart. If you need a cleansing from sickness and disease, he can provide that because he's Jehovah Rapha, the healer, and he's Jehovah Makedesh, the cleanser, the sanctifier, the setting apart. He will cleanse us. If you ever get a rash on your body, just say, "Thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Makedesh. You are the cleanser and the cleaner up. And not only that, are you, but you are also Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals." Well, does he still do it? Well, in Christ Jesus he does. 1 Corinthians 1:30. "And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, cleansing, and redemption." Praise God. The next one is Jehovah Shalom. Now, everybody knows what that is, I think. Jehovah Shalom, Judges 6:24. "Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace,' Jehovah Shalom. To this day it stands at Ophrah, which belongs to Abrazites. The Lord our peace, Jehovah Shalom." If you need healing from nervousness or panic, then he is Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace, and because he's our healer, Jehovah Rapha, he will present to us peace in our minds, from nervousness, from confusion. So if you need any psychological help, he is Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Rapha. First, Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I want to keep my mind stayed on Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. He is still that. John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He is our Shalom and our Jehovah Rapha. The next one is Jehovah Tzidkenu. Jehovah Tzidkenu. The Lord, our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. If we need healing because of sin, remember Jesus said to the guy, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Sometimes sickness and disease comes on people. They open the door to it because of sin. If you need healing because of sin, accept Jesus as your righteousness and as your healer. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness and provide healing for you. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, is he still that in Jesus? For our sake, he made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I tell you, when you just say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And then if you've opened the door because of sin, then he'll not only heal you, but forgive you. It's wonderful. Let's look at the next one. Jehovah Raha, or Jehovah Rohi. Depends on how you pronounce those particular phrases or particular words in the Hebrew. The Lord our shepherd. Psalm 23:1, the first scripture in my life that I had ever memorized. Actually, I didn't even memorize it. My father read it to me every night before I went to bed, and just remember it as just as a little baby. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if you need healing, he's not only Jehovah Rapha, but he's Jehovah Rohi, who's your shepherd, and you won't want for health. You'll have it. Because he's both the shepherd and the healer. He shall not want. So I sometimes say, I don't want for health, I have healing. I don't want for finances, I have money. I don't want for power, I have the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't want for joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I just say all that. I just have what he says. I don't want. I don't have a want. I say I don't have a want. Even when I do have a want, I say I don't have a want. Because he is my shepherd. John 10:11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he also said in the verse just before that, he said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The next redemptive name is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present, or the Lord is there. Ezekiel 48:35. I'm just jumping Proverbs 12 at the moment. Ezekiel 48:35. The circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that time on shall be the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, or the Lord is present. if I have a sickness and disease that's attacking my body, I can come to him immediately. I don't have to try to get him to come to me. He's already there. I can just present it to him. He's there. He's my Jehovah Shammah. And because he's Jehovah Shammah, he's right there. He's also my healer. I don't have to struggle in the flesh. I just have to say, Lord, I just thank you right now that you're present. And I receive that healing from the crown of my head, the soles of my feet, the tip of my toes. I am giving you all this stuff so you'll have you'll have so much stuff on healing and not have a problem. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. Thank you, Lord. To the end of the age. The next one that I want to talk to you about is Jehovah Gamola or Gamulaya. Jehovah Gamola Gamulaya. And it's found in Jeremiah 51:6. See if you can pick it out. Flee from the midst of Babylon. Let everyone save his life. Be not cut off in her punishment, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, the repayment he is rendering her. Gamola is the god of recompense, or the god who repays, the god of vengeance. And remember Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus took authority. He gave vengeance. He repays. He told the devil to leave those people, to get away from their bodies. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God, who is the God of recompense, is my God. Healing is from God. Sickness and disease is from the devil. So I accept him both as Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Gamola. God, these things I am, he's present, I am, all these things. He's not a used to be God, he is a was God, but he's the I am God. Right now, now and forever. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. His benefits are wrapped up in his name. And Jesus is all of this. He is my healer and a bunch of other things. Just take a moment here and lift up holy hands and just give him praise. Just magnify him. Thank him for healing tonight. Just thank him for health and strength. Thank him for sound minds in which to understand the precepts of your grace. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He's right here. He's present. He's present right here to heal you. And you receive it. Hallelujah. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Okay, we'll go on to some others. I want to give you a few others. Elohim. These are not names in a sense of redemptive names, but this refers to him. These things refer to him in the Old Testament. Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. I don't know if I have spelled. Oh, there it is. And this is a reference to God's might and God's power as creator. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, Elohim. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, Elohim, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Malachi 1:6 says, Adonai, A-D-O-N. Have I got that? Adonai, a reference to the lordship of God. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am father, where is my honor? And if I am master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts. O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? The Lord, the lordship of Christ, and Jesus is referred to as Lord. Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies. Isaiah 6, 1-3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And his train, his robes filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one said to the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He is host of heaven's armies. He is the Lord of hosts. James chapter 5, verse 4. Okay, I'm just going to read these. El Elyon, that means he's the most high God. The two scriptures that you can look up is Genesis 14, 17 to 20. And Isaiah 14, 13 and 14, the most high God, El Elyon. El Roi, the strong one who sees. Genesis 16, 13. You are a God of seeing, the one who sees. El Olam, the everlasting God. That's another song, that's another verse that my father and mother gave me. It talks about even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but they, when the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not fade. Verse 28 says, he is the everlasting God. And then El Shaddai, I particularly like this one, the God who is more than enough. More than enough. How about not just healing, but health? A God who is more than enough. Genesis 17, 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Almighty God. Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Praise God. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful. Put down your stuff tonight. I just feel like we need to worship God. I think that some people need to worship him and thank him for their healing. You've already confessed it. You've already stood on the Word of God. Now just thank him tonight. Lift up holy hands.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to send in your prayer requests or stories about what God is doing in your life to info@harvestfamilychurch.ca.